All right, on today's show, we got to talk about what happened with the college football playoff selection. Yeah, I'm going to talk for a little while. We got some coaches changing and whatnot. We're going to talk about quite a few things, but it's been a minute. So why don't we go ahead and dive into this thing?
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all new Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Excited for the football season? Then don't miss your boost pack courtesy of BetMGM. Log into your BetMGM account today to receive your pro football boost pack. Then, apply the token from the pack to any qualifying pro football wagers, and you'll gain extra winnings and more. It's always fun to cheer for your favorite team and celebrate the game-winning drive. And now you can do that while getting in on the action with BetMGM. Make your bets and play along with the full slate of games like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions, live betting options, original bets, and so much more. Log in or sign up today to get your pro football boost pack. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for full terms. 21 plus only. Must be 21 or older to wager. Ohio only. Existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards vary. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
I've been watching it for 40 years.
Are you kidding me?
You're listening to Winning Cures Everything.
Game day, baby. Wake up or get out.
Here's your host.
A confident young man. A superb athlete.
Gary Seegers.
Welcome to it. Winning Cures Everything. It is a college football podcast. I'm your host, Gary Seegers, at GaryWCE on the socials. Hopefully everybody's had a good week thus far. It is only Tuesday when I'm recording this. It'll be out on Wednesday morning. But yes, hopefully you are having a good week, and hopefully your team got into whatever bowl game you wanted it to get into. Cheers to it. Cheers to it. The college football season continues on. We got bowl games. We got Army-Navy. And yeah, I'm going to be doing my Army-Navy preview and all that kind of stuff. I already did that on the BetUS college football show today. That show is on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, 1 p.m. Eastern, and we're going to do that again next week. After that, week of Christmas, we're doing a Monday show. Week of New Year's, we're doing a Monday show. Week after that, we're back to Tuesday, and then we got another Tuesday, and then the national championship game is on a Monday. So we are rapidly winding down, even though we do have more than a month left in the season, just based on postseason and all that kind of stuff. But only one non-postseason game left. If you've not already become a member, bettingcfb.com. Going to have some bonus content over there. And, yeah, we're going to keep that thing rolling with bonus content. Hopefully, you are already a member. But all of those of you that have been members this season, I really appreciate you. You guys are fantastic. We've built a pretty good community over there. I am really enjoying having everybody to talk to. And people are enjoying the content that I'm putting out, and I really appreciate that. So, cheers to you. Cheers to you. All right, let's talk about this. Let's get into it. The College Football Playoff Executive Director, I think his name is Rich Clark, he said today, the committee valued conference championships. We held conference championship games in high regard. That's what he said. And while I understand where he's coming from with this, I think that we have a vast disconnect between the people that are in that room and the people that really understand what the principles of the College Football Playoff Committee were supposed to be, right? The number one thing that it says is strength of schedule. Not all of these conferences are created equal. They're just not. SMU being in this playoff is in all honesty, an abject failure by this committee. This is effectively saying, and you guys are going to hate this, that a G5 team that had some pretty good losses deserves to be in this field. And, I mean, really, this is the best case scenario for the people that have anti-SEC bias, right? Every metric that you can come up with has the SEC as the strongest conference in college football. The goal of the playoff has always been to get the best teams in the playoff. And it's not necessarily about earning your way in or anything along those lines. It is, have you won enough games for us to justify having the best teams in the playoff? Because you can, and this year is obviously a little bit different. But when they expanded this, the goal was not to include as much diversity in conferences as possible. The goal was to add some so that basically that the CFP would not be sued by by the G5 leagues. I do notice that everybody still cashes their checks. Everybody that used to complain about this, they did not complain about getting the check from it. But if you are looking at what you are supposed to put in this playoff, in this tournament, if you will, they just got it flat wrong. And some of you were going to disagree with me, and that's okay, because you didn't want another SEC team in there. And this is not exclusive to Alabama. Alabama was the team that they had ranked number 11, so they were the closest one. But this could be South Carolina, who had a better strength of record than Alabama, and SMU, and all these other teams. This could have been Ole Miss, who, honestly, led for the majority of the games that they lost. And they did have some bad losses, but, I mean, it is what it is. There's so many different topics that we could go down on this. But I'll focus here for just a little bit. This seemed almost like it was just an anti-SEC thing. Because if you are just going to count the number of losses in that column and the number of wins in the other column, then we got a big, big problem. And with this, there you are going to see massive, major changes coming soon. And my guess is, you know, Greg Sankey did come out today and made his first public statements about this. He said, he just needs to understand the decision-making process a little better because he currently does not understand it. And that's okay. But I think the way to understand it and the way to fix it is a couple of different things. And I put up a Twitter post about this. But let's talk about some fixes that would have alleviated this issue. Because SMU, for those that do not understand, I'm sure that most of you that are diehard college football fans, you already know. But SMU got into the playoff with zero good wins. You might could say Louisville is a good win. I've certainly got them power rated highly. But they honestly needed to beat Clemson to get in. And that would have given them, you know, an AQ bid, an automatic qualifier, auto bid, whatever you want to call it. They would have been in and there would have been no issue. There would have been no debate about it. Because had Clemson lost that game, they did not have a playoff worthy resume because they lost to all of the best teams that they played. And as it turns out, SMU lost to the best teams that they played, BYU and Clemson. And yes, they do have 11 wins. However, there are plenty of G5 schools that have had 11 wins that did not sniff the playoff because they're not every win is the same, and not every loss is the same. Now, the way to fix the selection for the college football playoff is pretty easy. You get rid of the weekly shows, And I know that that is part of the ESPN contract. But the weekly rankings, you quickly back yourself into a corner. Because all the statement last week was, well, they ranked SMU ahead of Alabama and ahead of all these other teams before the conference playoff game. So if they lose on a 56-yard field goal at the horn, but they were in before the playoff or before the championship game, then why even play the championship game? Well, the championship game is to earn your way into the field. But they looked at this as, okay, well, they were in the championship game, and then they lost an extra game that whoever from the SEC did not have to play. How can we penalize them for losing that extra game? And it's fairly easy. They lost to the second-best team that they played all year. And I guess maybe the best team that they played all year. Like, Clemson is certainly, I've got them power rated higher, but as far as, like, CFP rankings and whatnot, that's the second-best team that they played all year. Because I believe that, Clemson's higher now. They lost to the two best teams that they played. How's that? They lost to the two best teams that they played on the entire season. They didn't really have a good win. And we have been led to believe, we the general public, based on the way that the NCAA tournament in college basketball has been seeded and how teams have gotten in when they were on the bubble, etc., you have your automatic qualifiers. But just because you make your conference championship game does not mean that you are an automatic qualifier. And I think that's the disconnect. Because there are teams that make their conference tournament championship game all the time that do not have an NCAA tournament resume. But there's not enough spots in the field to put those teams in. And that's really the issue with all of this. And you can say all this, well, you can't control the schedule, and losses have to count too, and blah, 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 blah. But when you have all of the data that we currently have, that's where this becomes an issue. Because if you have no good wins, the teams that you have beaten, and we can say that Louisville is a good win. I don't know that we can say that Duke was a good win because they played terribly in that game, had six turnovers, probably should have lost the game. But the way that this all maps out and the way that the rankings have gone all year, it effectively looks like you are just counting wins and losses. And if you're just counting wins and losses from weaker conferences, that's going to become a huge issue. A huge issue. Because there is a look-in clause before the 2026 playoffs. And that will be rectified quickly because the governing power of the CFP now resides with the Big Ten and the SEC. Now, it may take something like this happening to the Big Ten next year, because this year, the way that the schedules were so imbalanced, Ohio State was able to get in, no problem. Penn State was able to get in with only one loss. Lost to the only good team that they really played on their schedule all year. Indiana lost to the only good team that they played all year. Oregon beat everybody. And then Ohio State had two losses, and it was what it was. They've got an 8 seed. So now, the SEC having 3 in, you know, if we're just trying to do numbers, no, it does not have to be 4-4 every year. The issue is when you allow a team to get in with no good wins and they lose to the best teams that they've played. Like, if they had beaten BYU. If they had beaten BYU in the non-conference schedule, then obviously you could make a case if they lost somewhere else because, oh, they've got a win here, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a ranked win, although that makes it look a lot better. But you need good wins. You need playoff-caliber wins to show that you can compete in the field. If they go into this game against Penn State and get demolished. That's going to do nothing for TV ratings. That's going to do nothing for the ACC as a whole. I'm sure that you guys have seen where the games are as far as TV. Both ACC teams were relegated. ESPN had their pick of who they wanted to have in primetime on Friday and Saturday night. They picked Notre Dame hosting Indiana. That's Big Ten team against Notre Dame. And they picked Ohio State versus Tennessee. That's SEC versus Big Ten. They sent the ACC teams, Clemson heading to Texas and SMU heading to Penn State. They sent both of those over to TNT. TNT bought the rights to two games. And ESPN and ABC decided, okay, we don't want the ACC teams. They don't draw viewers. And the reason they don't draw viewers is because it's not a good product. So the wins are not equal in the ACC and the SEC. And yes, you can come up with excuses and you can come up with all sorts of little examples of Georgia Tech got real close to beating Georgia. Okay, well, so did Kentucky. Okay? Like, we're not saying anything, or you're not saying anything that everybody doesn't already know. It's not surprising. What we need to figure out, and here's where I was going with this. How do we fix the selection, CFP, etc.? So the weekly shows are gone, so that you cannot back yourself into a corner with those. You do one like the NCAA Tournament Committee, and then you do one final one. Easy enough. The second thing that you do is you put out clear and defined metrics, because the principles of this as to what you are selecting based on is obviously not the case, because the very first principle that is listed on the website that they've talked about forever is strength of schedule. When it comes to getting into the field, how important is strength of schedule? What are the other metrics that are being looked at? Strength of record, I would imagine, from ESPN. And you probably need to do it from multiple analytical sites. So you need to figure out exactly what it is. That way this process is pretty transparent, and you don't even necessarily have to have a committee. I'm not saying that we need to go based solely on computers, because obviously you can't use just raw metrics. But we gotta figure out something so that people can see exactly how this process is playing out. We need to figure out quad wins. We need to figure out all kinds of things. Don't tell me about ranked wins. Tell me quad wins based on power ratings, etc. Because that Oklahoma team that Alabama lost to, that everybody says, oh, it's a terrible loss, all of Oklahoma's losses were to ranked teams except for the one at LSU. All of them. That is still a team that was power rated in the top 25. But their schedule was insanely difficult. Texas and Oklahoma did not play the same schedule. They're in the SEC. But those two teams did not perform against the same teams. They just didn't. And then the next thing, you need to have no sitting ADs on the committee. We need to not have people that will need to excuse themselves from the room when certain teams are being talked about, et cetera, et cetera. There are plenty of people that would be interested in doing this. How about this? There are plenty of qualified people that would be willing to go in and rank these teams and understand what it is that they're looking at. Because I think that we have a lot of people that don't understand what it is that they're looking at. And then number four, it may be most important. Wait until after the playoff, or maybe after the first round games or whatever, when the emotion dies down, and just release out where everybody had teams ranked. Everybody that's on the committee. If you're worried about only having one ranking at the end of the season, and that being too mysterious and too, oh, the fix might be in, whatever, just release it. Because they're not doing that right now. It's still mysterious. You don't know who voted for who or who did what. I mean, it is just, it's absolutely incredible. So, I am a bit peeved about this. Now, obviously, we'll get to see it for 1 year. And we will get to see if SMU and Arizona State and et cetera, et cetera, if they are able to hang in some of these games. Boise State as well, who got the 3 seed. That's something else that probably needs to get fixed. How is the champion of the Mountain West getting a bye? How does Penn State have a more advantageous path than Oregon? All of these things that have been talked about online, it's just mind-blowing. The other thing to hit on, the people that are making fun of the Alabama AD talking about reassessing non-conference opposition, the non-conference slate of your schedule is the only thing that you can control. Everybody understands that Alabama lost 3 conference games. What Greg Byrne was saying, for those that cannot understand this, hopefully I could explain this well enough. He's saying Alabama has multiple games against P4 competition in their non-conference heading into the future. There are years where there's games against Ohio State and Oklahoma State. And then the next year, they have Notre Dame and Oklahoma State. They have Wisconsin and Florida State next year. While those games don't look great right now, as far as the strength of the team that they're playing, because the win at Wisconsin this year was supposed to be a big matchup, right? Going to Camp Randall, that's supposed to be big. Wisconsin was not very good. And that's part of the problem with scheduling out all of this stuff. But at the same time, you don't know what a team is going to look like when you schedule them. You have no idea. You can assume that Alabama and Georgia and Ohio State are going to be good. You can assume that Notre Dame is going to be good. Other than that, everything's kind of a crapshoot. So you schedule the biggest brands and the best teams that you possibly can. And you do that for fan engagement because you want fans to come to the games. However, if you are a team that invests in order to win championships, there is absolutely no reason to continue to test yourself in the non-conference, considering the SEC slate is so difficult. We're also not going to get to 9 SEC games anytime soon. That's out the window, out the door, like not happening. People were already complaining about it anyway. But from everything that I'd heard, it was very 50-50, and there was a chance that you could probably do this. I worry that what it gets us closer to, and we were probably going to get there anyway, I worry that it is going to get us to where it is just the SEC and the Big Ten. And they were already having meetings. They were already in Nashville earlier this year, going through what the future of this sport could look like. But something along these lines, for the ACC to have the football season that they did and to compare themselves to the gauntlet that the SEC goes through is just asinine. There's no comparison with these conferences. And yet, I have people that will tell me, that will swear by it, oh, the SEC's not that good. Yes. Yes, it is. I don't know what to tell you. There is only one recruiting service out there for this year that showed a 5-star, well, excuse me, 2 5-stars that went somewhere other than the SEC or the Big Ten. The ACC was able to get, I believe, 2 5-stars, and that was from, I want to say ESPN had 1 ACC. I think that's right. I think that's right. I know one went to Clemson, and another, surprisingly, an offensive tackle, went to Georgia Tech. But what are we talking about? We're talking 95% of all of the best high school athletes are going to SEC teams. SEC and Big Ten. And honestly, in the Big Ten, it's really just the upper half. With the SEC, the gauntlet widens. So that's where we're going with this. We're about to see huge changes. My guess is they are probably going to do away with the automatic qualifying bids. And in that case, because of the way that this was set up, Clemson would not have been in the college football playoff this year. SMU would have been. Which is still kind of a joke. So, you know, we're going to figure this thing out eventually. But the issue that we have now run into, which is what everybody was concerned about, is you got people that are deciding this sport that don't understand it. Not everything is created equal. Not everything is the same. So it is what it is. Let's talk a couple of coaching moves. Well, first, let me tell you, TicketSmarter.com, use the promo code WCE10. You get $10 off an order of $100 or more. WCE20 is going to get you $20 off an order of $300 or more. And I'm telling you, the CFP tickets, concert tickets coming out, all that kind of stuff, it's almost Christmas time. Give the gift of tickets. Go to a show. Go to a concert. Go to a game, whatever it might be. And make sure that you buy your tickets at TicketSmarter. TicketSmarter.com or the TicketSmarter mobile app. They're going to do it for you. GoSleeves.com/WCE. The best kinesiology technology on the market. And I'll tell you, GoSleeves, they got some good stuff. They really do. It helps your joints not be in so much pain. It's really nice. I highly suggest it. GoSleeves, that's G-O, GoSleeves.com/WCE. It's going to get you 15% off your order. Compression sleeves, compression socks, compression shirts. You get this cool, like, cooling gel that they've got that kind of works its way down into your joints and whatnot. I could not recommend it more. So check that out as well. And don't forget, bettingcfb.com, that's where the bonus content goes, etc. Going to be updating quite a bit of stuff over there. So $5 a month, $50 for the year, and that's where I toss all of the fun stuff. So make sure that you head over there as well.
Excited for the football season? Then don't miss your boost pack courtesy of BetMGM. Log into your BetMGM account today to receive your pro football boost pack. Then apply the token from the pack to any qualifying pro football wagers, and you'll gain extra winnings and more. It's always fun to cheer for your favorite team and celebrate the game-winning drive. And now you can do that while getting in on the action with BetMGM. Make your bets and play along with the full slate of games like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions, live betting options, original bets, and so much more. Log in or sign up today to get your pro football boost pack. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for full terms. 21 plus only. Must be 21 or older to wager. Ohio only. Existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards vary. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right. Is Bill Belichick really going to get the North Carolina job? I found the reporting on this very interesting because from what we've heard, the report said that he has agreed to become North Carolina's next head coach. But then the very next sentence says that we're waiting on a decision from North Carolina. So it's basically Bill Belichick saying, hey, okay, I'm going to take your job. But North Carolina hadn't offered the job. So we're getting reports that he accepted the job, but without an offer. So it's... And I've seen all kind of reports that this would be an absolute disaster because he's a control freak and you can't do that in college because it's, you know, everything's just all over the place when it comes to college football. He's got a 400-page organizational Bible, and Parker tweeted about this earlier and said, somebody leak the Bible. Like, I would love to see what this is, but he's come out and said basically that he would turn North Carolina into an NFL team. And not, like, talent-wise or whatever, just the way that it's run, but that's really what college football is anyway. Like, that's nothing new. That's something that's already been set up. There's general managers and all sorts of crap everywhere. Now, they weren't set up at North Carolina like that, but they have to. North Carolina really needs to figure out their NIL situation. Tulane has more NIL than North Carolina right now. I don't get it. So they need to figure it out. But either way, I would love to see this. I think it's hilarious. I think that he could probably do pretty well there. So I'm interested in Belichick over in Chapel Hill. That could be very, very fun. The next one that I want to talk about, and then we'll close out with this, because I've ranted long enough. If you've sat through this, man, cheers to you. I appreciate you, because this is just me griping and complaining, because I think they got it completely wrong. If you are just somebody that wants different teams just for the sake of having different teams, then okay, I understand. But I still think it's ridiculous because we didn't get the best teams in the sport into this thing, and it's absurd. So yes, the next coaching change that I've got to talk about. UCF hired Scott Frost to be their new head coach. And yes, it is the same Scott Frost that was at UCF when they went undefeated and claimed to have won the national championship back in 2017. But yeah, Scott Frost was the head coach at Nebraska from 2018 through 2022. And honestly, he got fired three games into 2022. Didn't coach anywhere. Didn't coach anywhere in 2023. This season, he became a, quote, coaching consultant for the Los Angeles Rams. And then UCF hired him back. He didn't go be an offensive coordinator. He didn't resurrect his career. He did nothing. UCF just said, hey, that guy that won for us the last time, we should probably go get that guy. Even though he's done nothing. I don't understand it at all. Gus Malzahn leaves UCF to go be an offensive coordinator at Florida State. Now, this was a quiet firing. We all get this. But I don't understand. This is not the UCF that he left. This is now a Big 12 program. And no, it is not a Power 4 program, because I do not believe that the Power 4 exists. And that's kind of my problem with the CFP right now. But I don't think this is going to work. And maybe I'm crazy. Maybe it will. But when he came in the last time, he ran a very different kind of offense that people had not seen, and certainly the AAC was not ready for. And then he goes to Nebraska, and that offense doesn't work anymore. And it's not because he didn't have good players. Nebraska has good players. Certainly as good of players as they had at UCF. But the difference in who you play and the coaches that have seen the schemes that you were coming in with, that all changes. How much do you know about the game of college football right now when you have been out of it for three seasons, basically? I mean, there is so much that's different. There, when he was here last time, when he was at Nebraska, really, NIL was not nearly the thing that it is now. On top of that, the transfer portal was minimal heading into the 2022 season. It has since just completely skyrocketed. So the market is kind of reshaping itself and whatnot, and UCF went out and hired a guy that they had a lot of success with, but who is not, at least on a regular basis, familiar with the current landscape of the sport. Maybe I'm crazy. I do not understand it. Speaking of coaching changes that I don't understand, this will be the last one for real. Barry Odom going to Purdue. Now, here is my guess on this. My guess is that he knew that Brennan Marion was leaving. And you better strike while the iron is hot. Winning 9 games in back-to-back years at UNLV is almost impossible. It is unheard of at that program. They are not a super well-resourced program. And honestly, what he was able to win over the past 2 years was built by Marcus Arroyo. So he didn't actually have to build this. The foundation was already there. And he's losing some of the key pieces of that, whether to the NFL or graduation or whatever. And now it looks like his offensive coordinator, that is this hotshot, is probably going to get a gig elsewhere, whether it be Tulsa, whether it be, and he might actually take the UNLV head coaching job. I don't know. My guess is no, because they named a different interim. The wide receivers coach is going to be the interim coach for the bowl game. If Brennan Marion was going to get the job, my guess is he would be the coach for the bowl game. Just a guess. But either way, I think he knew that next year was going to be difficult. And if you were going to get back into big-time coaching, you needed to strike right now. And because of the current situation, where there's not a ton of great jobs open, well, now you're going to take a job in the Midwest, in the Big Ten, in really an impossible situation, but a spot where you can make a lot of money and then probably retire or go back to being a coordinator. Like, that's he hit the jackpot. And it's not a great situation, but it is a head coaching job in the Big Ten. And yeah, there will be resources. He'll try to win. But it's very difficult at jobs like this to be able to get a win like that. So, all right. That's going to wrap things up. What a fun week. What a fun week. We're heading into bowl season. I will be putting out previews and all that on the YouTube channel. I'll also be putting them out here. So make sure that you are subscribed where you need to be subscribed, all that good stuff. All right, you guys are fantastic. Don't forget to check out the BetUS College Football Show. Going to have a lot of fun over there as well. We're going through every single bowl game. Hopefully you will you'll slide in there with us. All right, with that said, take care of yourself. Take care of each other. God bless college football and hopefully all of your tickets cash this week.
Thanks for listening to Winning Cures Everything. Make sure and subscribe on YouTube or your favorite podcast app. And make sure to leave a nice 5-star review. You can follow Gary on Twitter, @GaryWCE. And the show is @WinningCures. Be sure to check out the merch in our web store and share the show.
Excited for the football season? Then don't miss your boost pack courtesy of BetMGM. Log into your BetMGM account today to receive your pro football boost pack. Then, apply the token from the pack to any qualifying pro football wagers, and you'll gain extra winnings and more. It's always fun to cheer for your favorite team and celebrate the game-winning drive. And now you can do that while getting in on the action with BetMGM. Make your bets and play along with the full slate of games like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions, live betting options, original bets, and so much more. Log in or sign up today to get your pro football boost pack. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for full terms. 21 plus only. Must be 21 or older to wager. Ohio only. Existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards vary. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all new Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.